And our reading this morning is from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit."
Good morning, and good to be with you. We have a slightly challenging topic. We're sort of three quarters of the way through a series, looking at ourselves as body, soul, and spirit. Body, Greek soma, there's not going to be much Greek, but psychosomatic, it's the same word. Spirit, pneuma or pneumatic, as in pneumatic drill, either wind or spirit. Soul, psyche, psychology, that's the same word. And I find that quite helpful. Our bodies, sort of via our senses, relate obviously to the world. Our souls, I find this a bit harder to visualize, but it's a sort of internal bit, mind, emotions, will. It's sort of relating to myself. And then spirit, the bits relating to God. Now, our difficulty this morning is this. Jean has given me this lovely topic, how we relate, our three bits, how we relate to God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So here we go. We're going to start, though, with that lovely passage that we heard read by Owen, Nicodemus. And I like that because he's an important Jewish leader, isn't he? He's a Pharisee, so he knows his scriptures back to front. And I think he's seen Jesus around teaching and preaching. And so he decides to go and see him. It's odd, though. It says he goes to see him at night. Now, is it because he's embarrassed? Well, no, I think it's not that. I think he just wants to get Jesus on his own so they can have a good conversation. I think sometimes people went to Jesus, didn't they, to sort of test him out. I think he genuinely went wanting to find out, to see who Jesus was. Anyway, that's just my theory. But poor old Nicodemus, he's in the deep end straight away. Because Jesus starts off banging, "No one can see or experience the kingdom of God unless they are born again or maybe born from above." And poor old Nicodemus, he doesn't really know what to make of this. He's puzzled, and he he seems to understand it literally, as if he is an old man, to be born again, has to go back into his mother's womb to be born again. So even though he's a teacher, he really is struggling with the first thing. Jesus goes on. It doesn't get any easier for Nicodemus either. He goes on to say, no one can actually enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. And I think we can see, he's talking about two sorts of birth, isn't he? Natural birth. Have we got any midwives here? Any nurses? Good, right. So you can shoot me down in a minute what I'm going to say. But there's natural birth and there's spiritual birth. Now, natural birth, I know a little bit about because when our son Jonathan was about to be born by cesarean, I wasn't allowed in, which was just as well. Daughter Sarah, I was there for her birth. And this is a very layman's view, but it's the body responding to the action of the mother's body, and when the time is right, baby is born. So apologies if that's not very technical. Now, with the new birth, it's a little bit more complicated, but I think it's a person responding to God's Spirit. So it's something that comes from God's Spirit works. And it's a stage, really, where a person sort of surrenders themselves to God, but there's a new, it's a spiritual birth that happens. Have any of you seen a spiritual birth happening? I'm sure a number of us have. Natural birth, it's a fantastic thing, isn't it? Spiritual birth is a fantastic thing as well. But is this thing, Jesus keeps on emphasizing, though, you must be born again from above. And so the new birth that comes, it brings our spirit alive, but there's still the soul, the mind, the emotions, the will, that's in a state of needing to be changed, isn't it? It doesn't all happen at once. And the body as well. That it takes time for the new birth really to work all the way through ourselves. How many of you would say that you've known God from your birth? Just put your hands up if you've known God from, you can't remember when you didn't. Okay. And how many of you would say that you can remember a time when you suddenly realized what was going on? That certainly I fit into that category. Now, it may be there's some today been hearing me and saying, well, I don't understand what he's talking about. It may be that some haven't got to that stage. There will be a chance for prayer afterwards. The kingdom of God, though, which Jesus is talking about, seeing and entering the kingdom of God. Well, your kingdom come, it's the rule of God or the rule of Jesus, but it happens when it's your will be done. It's when my will becomes God's will. So it's all about coming to align our will with God's will. Does that happen immediately? No. It takes a long time, doesn't it, to work through. Now, I want to look next, and this is a bit sort of experimental, but I want to look at how we relate to God as Father, Son, and Spirit. And it's not going to be technical. I'm simply going to talk about my own journey, what happened for me. And I hope that as I talk through, you can sort of think to yourself, well, I started there, and I can understand that bit, No, I didn't. That, it came the wrong. It came a different order for me. So, can you, as I'm talking about my order, can you be thinking about how it worked for you, how it's still working for you? Now, my own journey, it started when I became a Christian, 1974. I'd all my life I'd been a musician in church, but it was 74. I went with another musician to a university-wide mission. And we went, not like Nicodemus, we went just to sort of really, I think we would just have a bit of fun, really. But the end of that night, the speaker, I never forgotten, he talked about sin, and it really struck me. And by the end of the week, I'd made a commitment to follow Jesus, and that's how I started. It was Jesus focus, very much Jesus as the focus. And I do remember that I was a bit desperate because the only Bible I had was the one I'd had as a child, the King James Version. So I was struggling to understand what on earth it was saying. But I had this immense hunger to understand and know the Word of God. And that's how I started getting to know God through Jesus. So where you started, you know where you started, but that's how it happened for me. Then about 6 or 7 years later on, I was involved in the church again as a musician, regular preaching, fairly old-fashioned evangelical church. And there was a sort of a renewing movement that arrived. And that really put the cat among the pigeons, because a lot of the congregation had known what they thought the new God was like, and something different was happening. It was particularly from the musicians, because they were all used to these particular hymns, and there were new songs that started to happen. So it was quite a sort of, it was quite an uncomfortable time. But through that was the stage I came to know God more concretely as Spirit. So that was my journey, Jesus Spirit. Now, the hardest thing for me was getting to know God as Father. And you think, why should that be? Well, my view of God as Father was, I would say, corrupted by my experience of parents and family. So bear with me on this, but I was the eldest son of four, so I was sort of one of the models. The younger ones, they got sort of easier disciplining. It was pretty rigid, one and two. So there was that, oldest son. I was sent off to school at 10, because that's what my parents thought would be a good thing. And basically, the question in my mind at that stage was my parents' love unconditional? I didn't put it in those terms, but was it unconditional, or did it depend on me doing the right things? And I got to the view that actually it depended on doing the right things. You see where I'm going on this? And there was a whole series of behaviours and thoughts that sort of sprung from that. So it was, it depended on my performance. I had to either get things right or not get things wrong. So the whole package of behaviours. Not a very good view of myself, not good enough, because I never quite made it good enough. And later on it turned into resentment as well, at this unfair straitjacketing. Now, when I became a Christian, you can imagine what happened. I came to know God through Jesus, through Spirit, but the Father bit, it was in the background, but that is what I projected onto God as Father. Now, I could say all the right things, God is a heavenly Father, loving Father, and so on, but actually my internal model was quite different, quite different. And I think that's one of the dangers sometimes with churches, where the word is preached faithfully week in, week out. Sometimes we're excellent on saying the right things. Probably the Pharisees were as well. But actually, the experience is slightly different. So there's a sort of disjuncture between what we say and what's actually going on internally. Now, what really helps me, though, was this. Jean has about five books on the screen. This is just one. But a fantastic book. I Am Your Father, Mark Stibbe. He was orphaned, and he had to work through that. He was also sent off to school. He had to work through that. So I just found that really helpful, looking at the whole issue of fatherlessness, which is a problem in our society, isn't it? Not just in the church. And looking at that and how to relate to God healthily as father. It was undoing a lot of stuff. Sorry, it doesn't come out very well, but this is one of the stories that Mark Stibbe looked at quite a lot. The parable that we say the prodigal son, actually it's not the prodigal son, it's the father who's got two sons, isn't it? Okay, the prodigal son, he went off the rails, came back, was welcomed back, as we can see, well, just about you can see anyway, by the father, who is incredibly gracious, welcomes him back, there's a feast. But you can't actually see him on the screen, but there's the elder son who has been with his father apparently all his life, but it's almost as if he's jealous of the reception the younger son is having, and he's resentful. And you know that the father has another job to do to persuade the older son to come into the feast. We don't know if he does or not. Now, I understood the elder son feeling very much. And just to round off, really, this actually is an icon. Well, it's got two levels. It's of three angels who went to visit Abraham when they told Abraham that Sarah was about to have a child against all the odds. But it's also an image of the Trinity. Son in the middle, so slightly sort of more concrete colours. Father on the left, Spirit on the right. Now that may be helpful or not. It doesn't really matter if it does or not, but I just want to ask you some questions now. My journey was Jesus, Spirit, and many years later, Father, in terms of relationship order. So my question for you is, where did you start? Who started with Father, knowing God as Father? Okay, quite a sprinkling. How about Jesus? Yeah, slightly more. How about Spirit? Yeah, interesting. So it's a sort of a scattergun. Now, it may be that what I'm asking you is not fair, because you say, well, I never really just saw one and then the other and then the other. But I'm just talking from my own experience. That's how it worked for me. And I suppose my question for each of us now is, where are we on that journey? We've started one place. How is your actual relationship, not your spoken relationship, but your actual relationship with the other two members of the Trinity? Or maybe one part stuck, as it was with me for many years, but I didn't realize it. So where are you on that journey? Now, I think that's the lovely thing, what Mary said this already, that's the lovely thing being part of a congregation, because everyone here has started from somewhere different very often, but everyone's on that journey, we're all on that journey together, to know God more fully. We're never going to get there this side of heaven, are we? But it's a journey. I think we can help one another as we get to know each other enough to trust each other to talk honestly, which takes time, doesn't it, as well? Because sometimes, I think we've all been there, haven't we? Yeah, we know the right things to say, but actually, internally, it's a bit different what's going on. So I just want to end up with, this was the other reading, ended up with the grace. And I think that's lovely, isn't it? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said earlier in that letter, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. That's fantastic, isn't it? And then the second part, love of God. Well, I cheated here, I put Father, but I think that's what he's talking about. Relationship with the Father, whose love is constant, never gives up on us, keeps pursuing us, sent Jesus as to sort our condition out. And then fellowship of the Holy Spirit, or you can say participation of the Holy Spirit. And I think that's really helpful because it's helping us to know the truth about God, which is really hard. Knowing the truth about ourselves, which is also hard to take, isn't it? But also power to live and serve as sons and daughters without any fear or shame. And that's a wonderful thing with this prayer, that be with us all, whatever stage of the journey we're at, whatever stage of the journey we're at, we can help each other. So I'm going to ask us just to pray this through now together. And as you pray through, well, I think just check to yourself, where am I on this journey? Really knowing relationship with God as Trinity. And I think praying for us as a congregation, where are we as a congregation on that journey of growing into maturity, real relationship with Trinity? It's a challenging topic, isn't it? So let's pray this together. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And we have to say amen as well.